So could you outline the recommendations of the Planetary Health Diet?
Well, the Planetary Health Diet is really aimed about what's best for the world. So it's not targeting individuals, but where it comes from is what the worry is. At the moment, in the world, there's about 1 billion people who are hungry and about 2 billion who are eating too much of the wrong food. And so by the time we get to 2050, the world's population is going to increase by 50%.
Wow.
And basically, we can't keep going the way we're doing. We won't be able to feed everybody. So what this group of, you know, 37 experts from 16 countries have done is they've taken a couple of years to look at all of the data and come up with some key recommendations. Now, this massive report, you know, which is like 50 pages, can be summarized for individual people into four key recommendations. So they sound simple, but believe me, the science behind them is complex. But basically, if we all just ate what we needed, not too much, so that our weight became stable, if we avoided the highly processed junk foods and sugary drinks, if we were more careful and didn't waste food, which means wasting the environment and, you know, adding to greenhouse gases, and if we ate more plant-based foods, and the opposite of that is to eat less meat, basically.
Mm. So less waste, less food waste, more
plants. Yeah, so what's interesting is that, you know, when you waste food, and it's not just you at home, but it's at the farm gate as well, when food's wasted, we're wasting the resources used to produce it. And in terms of managing food waste, you have to think really big picture, because people can be anti-packaging and anti this and that, but actually having bigger farms with more efficient processes leads to less food waste globally. The other thing that's really key in Australia, if you look at our red meat intakes compared to the world, in Australia we eat 3 times more meat than people in many other countries. So these global food recommendations, for Australians it would mean cutting back on our meat and having a couple of vegetarian meals a week, but in some developing countries it would actually mean them increasing their meat intake so they don't have so much anemia and iron deficiency.
Mm. So what kind of changes could people expect to see after adopting this diet in Australia?
Well, for the whole world, there's at the moment, every year, there's about 11 million deaths that are attributed to either not having enough food or eating too much of the wrong kind of food. But for people at home, if you switch to being what I call a flexitarian, which means, you know, consciously a few days a week trying to cut down your meat and replacing with vegetarian sources of protein and more vegetables and more fruit, your first up is you actually start to feel better. And then after that, other people notice that you start to look better. And what we know is that some of the bioactive components, particularly of vegetables and fruits and the bright coloured ones, is that they actually come out in your skin, and that's what gives you the healthy glow. So then you should start to get an improvement in your health if you've currently got high blood sugar levels or high blood fats. So, you know, you'll feel better, you'll start to, your skin and your look will start to improve, and then you'll start to actually get better.
Mm. Well, I'm actually on a flexitarian, as you call it, diet at the moment as well, mainly because of the money, actually, because I found that eating vegetarian can be a lot cheaper. But I've also seen an incredible amount of health benefits. Obviously, this is just my personal experience. But the amount of meat recommended in this health diet for Australians is a lot less to what most people are used to. And, you know, a lot of people who are on plant-based diets have to take lots of vitamin supplements, B12, for example. Do you think that the reduction of meat recommended would mean that people have to take more dietary supplements and vitamins?
Absolutely not. And if you're a vegetarian or a flexitarian, you don't need B12 supplements. It's only people who are complete vegan, because B12 is a nutrient that only comes from animal-based products, and you need it for making healthy red blood cells. There are fortified or supplemented foods, or you can have B12 injections. If you're a vegan, you should be checked for pernicious anemia periodically.
Mm.
And but other than that, you need less. When you eat more plant-based foods, you get a bigger range of both vitamins and minerals and all the other things that are in food called phytonutrients that are acting to keep your body healthy from the inside out. So the Australian Dietary Guidelines for For optimal health and to keep your risk for bowel cancer, for example, in check, we recommend less than about half a kilo of meat per week. Well, in Australia, when you average it out, it's about 2 kilos a week.
Mm.
Now, for people like you and for people who are vegetarian, that means somebody's actually eating your 2 kilos. So for many people, they're way, way over that.
Mm.
And when you're flexitarian, so that means you're cutting down on your meat, but you're not becoming a vegetarian,
mm.
you can hide things like lentils and chickpeas into dishes you already make. If you make spaghetti bolognese, for example, and use half the amount of mince you normally use and replace the rest with a can of lentils and don't tell anybody, you don't even notice.
Yep, I've done that before.
yeah, then people go, oh, that was really nice. Go, and you can actually replace the whole lot. And then they'll go, really? That was vegetarian, but that tasted nice.
I always do it with nachos as well. I find that doing Mexican foods with lentils, it's really easy to sneak in and people don't usually notice. It's great.
Yeah, so super easy, super cheap and super fast, and you're boosting your nutrient intake. So making all these small changes, you're helping yourself and you're helping the planet.
Mm. So do you have any tips for people who want to transition to this diet, who are currently on, you know, 2 kilos or more meat, or, you know, don't just eat that many vegetables as it already is?
Yeah, well, I actually wrote an article for a free online newspaper called The Conversation, and I wrote one about flexitarian eating, and it was called If You Love Meat Too Much to Become a Vegetarian, Go Flexitarian. So, and there's a movement called Meat Free Monday, and that's the one that was set up by Paul McCartney in the UK. He's a really well-known vegetarian, apart from being an amazing musician, of course. and they send you recipes every week so that you can make sure you get your vegetarian meal in. So the key thing, though, is really to think about it and plan it. If you keep in your pantry that can of chickpeas, the can of lentil, or even a bag of the dried red lentils, which cook in like 5 minutes in the microwave, then it makes it easy to, you know, think of something else instead of just eating meat-based meals, or to make the meat go further. And the other key thing is with your veggies and fruit is to buy them and then use them so that you're not wasting them.
I struggled with that at the beginning as well. I've reverted to frozen vegetables at the moment because I'm really bad at using everything and not having too much food waste. Say in an ideal world, everybody adopted this diet like it's recommended, how would we see our food systems change?
Well, we potentially may see some like bigger farms potentially, because it can be more cost efficient to grow more food in farms that are already existing. So some of that, as individuals, we wouldn't see it, but the farmers certainly would see that in terms of more efficient processes. But I think what we would see is when you went to the supermarket, that the section of junk food would shrink drastically, like that would be the minority, and that the section on vegetables, fruit and vegetarian foods would drastically increase. Now, there's one caveat that I think we have to say. Now, while we want to reduce food waste, that will require that some more of those foods need to be processed. Now, you can process for good and make more nutritious foods to help feed the planet, or you can process for evil and just add fat, sugar, salt and turn them into monster foods. So we need to buy the foods that are healthy so that the manufacturers get the message that, hey, we want to reduce food waste, but we don't want you to turn them into more junk food choices. We want more plant-based healthy options out there. And that's what's good for people, and that's what's good for the planet.